Welcome to the Casserole of Nonsense with Chris, Scott, and Casey.
Hey, what's that? What? Wait. Oh, it's the Casserole of Nonsense. Wow.
Arr, Casey.
As terrible of an open as that was, there have been a lot of surprises over the years in history. And we're going to talk about a few of those tonight on the second quarantine edition of the Casserole of Nonsense. Yeah, we're still stuck. Hope you're practicing social distancing and washing your hands, 6-foot rule, all that good stuff.
Yeah, whoever. Hey, whoever discovered this thing should have been hung from the yardarm.
Well.
Although I am discovering a lot of stuff around the house.
There's not an engine swinging from a tree, is there?
Not that you'd notice.
Okay. That's the backyard. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I discovered a honeydew list.
Well, what other things have we discovered for this week?
I've discovered that I've got a lot of gray in my beard.
That's not a fun discovery to have when you look in the mirror and all of a sudden, poop, there's gray hair.
No. You know, I've been, if it gets too bad out there, I may have to break out the gun, but I'm my luck, I won't be able to do what the Clampets did, you know? I'd be shooting at some food. I don't think I'm going to get a bubbling crew.
So you're saying moving to Beverly Hills is out of the question?
I'm saying that if, there goes the neighborhood if I make it out there.
Okay.
But, yeah, there was a, you know, that's just one of the things that, that's been found by accident. When you guys were growing up, did you guys ever bury treasure or do anything like that, or hunt for buried treasure or even that hunt for, arrowheads or do any work with metal detectors, anything like that?
Yeah. My uncle had a metal detector and we used to go around to schools. We had a school with a large field and he actually found someone's class ring that was lost for like 30 something years out in a field. That was really cool. And just finding different old pieces of metal and currency quarters and from 50 years ago. It's really cool to see, to be a part of that.
Yeah. I wish somebody would find my class ring. I didn't lose mine in the field. I did lose it in a 1989 Ford Mustang that I totaled. But so far, nobody's brought it back. So if you're listening, it has a floating devil head in it. It'd be funny if that did turn up. I mean, there's a lot of things. I've been trying to get, I've been actually thinking about it, about getting a metal detector, actually for my father-in-law. He has a lot of property. My understanding is around this area at one time, of course, they do a lot of farming up here. They did turned over like a really old Native American effigy, and that had to be an incredible find, especially archaeologically important find.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that it'd be nice, be able to find, I like archaeology. To me, it'd just be neat to find, an old tin cup,
So the only thing you're missing, Scott, is just a whip and a leather hat is what you're telling me. Yeah. And he could do this.
Yeah, and I'd like to be missing about another 30 pounds. I don't think anybody's going to be threatened much. I'm not going to be out running any boulders.
Dr. Jones?
The only discovery that I really made when I was younger, we would dig up potatoes, and we would find dollar bills in the dirt.
Wow.
But that was fake because my dad put them in there. And I found that secret out not too long after we started doing that. So little $5 bills in there. It's like, where'd these come from? Where are they growing out of the dirt? Oh, wait a minute.
That's ingenious.
The jig was up after that.
How many fields did you dig up before you figured it out?
About half of the first one.
I only got the crop in. It only cost me six.
But now my dad has a metal detector now, but he's retired, so I mean he's got to find stuff to do. So he's
it's a great hobby, but yeah, you never know what you're going to find. Like,
yeah,
like Casey was saying, and it doesn't have to. And one person's treasure is another person's junk. I mean, the discovery itself is the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think a lot of things were discovered by accident. First of all, the Bahamas. Columbus wasn't coming for a tan.
He's going for the spices.
Yeah, he thought he had found India. He found a sandbar along the way and somehow discovered, the place where rich people can go down there and get pay $80 for cornrows. Viagra was found by accident. It was it started out as a drug to prevent angina.
Oops.
But then they noticed a certain side effect that probably ends up causing more heart attacks than they ever thought that it would. Microwave ovens. Y'all heard about that one, right?
I mean, yes.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? He was working on like just radio waves or radar, and all of a sudden he found a brown smudge in his pocket. I'm sorry. Shirt pocket. It was just chocolate bar. And then, you vulcanized rubber. That was an accident. I mean, there are a lot of things like that. Saccharin. A lot of these treasures or these, inventions, discovery are found by accident. Now, are they, usually found when you're looking for something else. That's the thing. So, I mean, of those types of finds, those aren't buried treasure. They're discoveries are important. Like, I wish somebody would accidentally find a cure for this dang thing, or at least on purpose. But, there are a lot of things that are... that are discovered on accidents that have importance, but that's not the fun stuff. The fun stuff is the Goonies, although they were looking for that, weren't they? So not scratch that. Like the Beverly Hillbillies. But
Jay Clampett out there trying to... Sheep, another rabbit. Was it a rabbit?
Well, I said food. I'm assuming it looked like, I think it's a rabbit on the.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's a rabbit.
Yeah. Yeah, out there, next thing you know, he had a cement pond. I'm sorry, but and I never could figure out, was Miss Hathaway supposed to be hot? I mean, it was like Jethro was always kind of hitting her up.
Well, Jethro was a weirdo anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I never could figure that one out. And that whole dynamic there. But what are you gonna do? going into you want to just go into the GOAT list, Chris?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay. Well, you know, in the GOAT list, we're looking at this is the buried treasure or the undiscovered treasure edition. We brought one up. The one I'm going to bring up first is the Hoxne Hoard. And the Hoxne Hoard, this is 1992, was discovered by a retired utility board worker. Casey, this is a lot like what you were describing your, what was it? You said
uncle.
Uncle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This guy in 1992, he's using this metal detector. He was helping a farmer friend of his locate a hammer. The guy had lost a hammer in his field. And he turned up an ancient Roman hoard of silver and gold. They had items like coins and spoons and effigies. I mean, it was priceless. The guy's name was Eric Laws. He was given a $2.5 million finder's fee. Oh, and by the way, he did find the hammer. So it's all on display now, but that was in the United Kingdom. But 1992, so there's still some stuff out there. Casey, I know you have one.
Yes. You want to go into the next one?
Yeah, go into the next one, because we're going to vote on these to see which one we think is the greatest.
Well, I have the Saddle Ridge Hoard. Now, this is a recent discovery. This discovery occurred in 2013. And what you had was this is in California. You had a husband and wife are walking their dog on their property, and they noticed this, I guess you could call it not a satchel, but some sort of bag on the property. And in that bag was 27,980. That was the value of the gold coins that were in this bag. Okay. And today's value on that gold is $10 million. It is the largest discovery of buried gold coins in the history of this country. And since it was on their property, the folks have been able to keep the currency, and currently they have a deal with Amazon, and they're selling the currency on Amazon.com currently. So they're making bank on this discovery.
Obviously.
Awesome. Well, now I really want to get something to start going over my property. I can't think of anybody who would have buried any gold coins up here, but wow, that's impressive.
Makes you want to go walk your dog. You might become $10 million richer.
Oh, yeah. What do you got, Chris?
All right, so this comes from the United Kingdom. A tank collector, his name is Nick Mead, and he owns a company called Tanks A Lot. Not kidding.
Oh, God.
Not kidding.
Let me guess. He discovered a better marketing agent.
After this, he probably could have. Well, what happened was he found an ex-Iraqi Army Type 69 tank on eBay and traded for it and traded an Abbott self-propelled howitzer and a British Army truck for this tank.
Clearly, I'm not on the same eBay.
Yeah, this is the dark eBay.
The eBay after dark, yeah. All right.
Oh, you're just thumbing through eBay and you come across an Iraqi tank?
Well, I guess. I don't know. But this company offers tanks and armored vehicles for driving classes, TV and film appearances. So they were filming the opening of the fuel tank in this tank because they'd already found machine gun ammo in it. And they wanted video proof in case they found more ammo. Well, they pulled out 5 gold bars weighing about 12 pounds each.
Holy cow.
Worth an estimated $2.4 million. This was in 2017, so not very long ago. They handed the gold over to authorities, and Mead has placed a receipt for the bars of bullion in a safe deposit box.
Wow.
$2.4 million.
I don't know what's more impressive, the fact that he found it or the fact that he reported it. I mean, I understand, you know, you find some gold coins and they have historical value and there's archaeological, you know, value attached to them. These are gold bars.
Yeah.
I find it incredible that he reported that. Well, but $2.4 million worth of gold bars?
And a little bit, and a little bit about this tank, too. The Type 69 was armed with a 100-millimeter main gun and 12.7-millimeter machine gun. The design, first introduced in 1949, is thoroughly obsolete, but it still serves in Third World armies around the world. So this guy has $2.4 million in gold, and he also has a tank. He also has tanks to go along with it. So,
and how sick is the eBay seller? Did he get? I wonder if he rated him well.
Oh, I hope so. Quick transaction would do business with again.
A plus buyer.
Now, a side note to this though. The story's been widely reported. The value of the gold bars doesn't quite add up. 5 gold bars weighing 12 pounds each should be worth only $1.2 million at gold prices in 2017. So, something a little fishy going on there that with the math. But still, a seven-figure find in a tank of gold bars is nothing to sneeze at.
What I would wonder is, did he find 5 or report 5?
They pulled out 5.
That's right. They did film it, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'd have been quick to destroy that film. We'll say we found 5. Okay. I've got one more. The Schroeder treasure. This was in Poland, and this was really kind of took place from 85 to 88. They were working on demolition. They're digging a foundation for a new phone exchange. And they found some coins. Now, some gold coins. That was a minor find, still impressive. And this is why when you find something like that, you keep looking, because they just went on and did what they were doing. And then a few years later, they're digging again, and they find this treasure that is believed to be the property of Charles IV of the House of Luxembourg. It's worth $50 to $100 million.
Good God.
Wow.
It's a hoard of silver and gold coins, gold jewelry, precious stones, dating back to the 14th century. And this guy was in line. He was in line for a claim as king of the Romans. So he had pawned this treasure to a Jewish banker to fund his claim in Poland. And I'm assuming that he didn't keep his ticket, or he didn't come back in the amount of time to get his pawn back. But so $500 to $100 million in and there are, there are crowns, there's jewelry, it's an amazing find. They call it the Schroeder hoard. It was found in Schroeder/Slaska, Poland. So there's four hoards, lack of a better word, 4 finds that are we're going to talk about as far as which one we think is most impressive. And it doesn't have to be by money, because, again, just the nature of the find, what's most impressive, the type of items that they found, those are the let's take that into account and just kind of discuss what we think is the most impressive find. There have been more finds, and there have been more things, but those were ones that people were looking for. In these cases, people weren't looking for them.
Mm-hmm. So we're voting on which one do we think is the most impressive.
Let's do that, because this is a goat list. We got to find the greatest of all time.
Well, I'll start this off. And although Chris's discovery probably didn't have as much value as the other ones, the story is probably the best. This guy is buying a tank, and then he finds gold bars inside the tank, and he reports it. I mean, you can't get better story than that. There's no way. That's the kind of story you can't make up. There's no way you can make a story like that up.
And he gave up a howitzer and a British Army truck to get it. I mean, that's the thing.
Let's see, he got $5 million a tank for a howitzer. That's a heck of a deal. Yeah, because and the other thing about that is if he doesn't report that, we don't know about this.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
You're right.
But, I mean, I guess the same could be said for, you know, several of these. Chris?
Well, we have three hordes in a tank.
Three hordes in a tank walk into a bar.
I don't think it means what you think it means. The Schroeder Horde is a whale of a find, just on value alone. But yeah. How are you going to go around? How are you not going to go around telling the bar story about how you found this tank on eBay, traded a howitzer and a British Army truck for it, and then find five gold bars in it, and you still have the tank?
Yeah. Part of me, and I get it. The Schroeder Horde, to me, that's an accidental find, but that's, you know, they're doing construction. That's, you know, they're digging that up. And then the failure to follow up on that, it's impressive. The history behind that find is the most impressive thing, but not the find itself. The Saddle Ridge Horde are kind of boring, and quite frankly, the dog found it. Or at least they ought to give him, you know, that dog ought to have some, you know, be eaten, not kibble. Anyway, that's the finest kibble. You get the finest kibble. The Hoxney Horde was really close because, you know, this is a guy that is just out there with his metal detector. But he was out there with metal detector. The Nick Mead tank find, I'm going to agree with you guys. This was totally unexpected. How sick is the guy who put that on eBay? Hey, honey, look, I got somebody to buy the tank. Yeah, I'm getting a howitzer and a truck. We needed a truck. Oh, that guy's so divorced now.
How does he not check the tank before he sells it? That's the question that I'm asked.
Well, I don't know. Whoever put those in there evidently wins at hide and seek.
Yeah.
I mean, my understanding, that's part of the they stole it from Kuwait.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gulf War.
Yeah. I mean, so. I want to know what happened to the tank driver that came across it. Honey! or, you know, you got his buddies in there. Probably five people in that tank. Each gets a gold bar, you know?
Yeah, there's a note here, actually. 6 months after the end of the war, Iraqi authorities returned 3,216 gold bars under UN supervision. How many did they not return?
That's a good question. Five.
At least.
At least five.
There were at least five gold bars at large.
I tend to agree with you guys. I think this is, if nothing else, this is the best bar story, drinking story ever.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. So, Nick Mead, what's the name of his company?
Thanks a lot.
Oh, I'm sure that's what he was saying. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mark. Nick Mead and Thanks a Lot. And I'm hoping that the guy who had the camera and the guy that was helping you find it got a little something out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations on top of, I don't know why I'm congratulating you. You find five gold bars. But here, top it off. You are the GOAT of accidental buried treasure. We'll just call it accidental discoveries.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Nick. Like you flipping need it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And with that, we're going to take a break. We've got two truths and one lie, and one's got to go coming after the break. This is the Casserole of Nonsense, the coronavirus editions. Welcome back to the self-quarantine edition of the Casserole of Nonsense.
The wash your hands edition.
the six-foot rule edition.
The what day is it edition of the Casserole Nonsense?
Yeah. Day 39. There are two squirrels outside my window. They've been there every day for the last 3 months. Hell, I don't know what day it is. It's like Dateline. Maybe Couture's Day or something. We're inventing new days. Yeah. All right.
My dog's wondering why I'm still here and my cat's still plotting to murder me.
What are you doing?
Same thing I've been doing for the last 3 weeks, Whiskers. Get out. If you haven't done it by now, you're not going to do it.
Don't you dare use my litter box edition.
You stupid pussycat.
Hey, it may come to that if we have no more toilet paper. It may come to that.
That would be the end of the world as we know it.
I have a redneck bidet. Hard nose outside.
All right. After all that mutual nonsense, let's move on.
Okay. So let's move on to quiz show. These questions are going to come to us courtesy of where I wish I was right now, NassauParadiseIsland.com.
You wish you were on a website?
Yeah. I wish I was actually on. I'm actually on the website. I wish I was actually in Nassau. I've not been there. I've been to Paradise Island. Yeah, I have. Okay. So, quiz show. You know, guys know how this works. I ask questions. You guys miss them. And then I end up having to give somebody a freaking point so they can win. Okay.
Wow. That was aggressive.
Ooh. Yeah, it is aggressive.
Okay. Prove me wrong. No.
I'm triggered right now.
That's what she said.
Okay. So, I'm going to, you know, we've been talking about buried treasure and found treasure. We're going to talk a little bit about pirates right now.
Arr.
There you go. I feel your enthusiasm. So I'm going to ask you guys questions. You get a point apiece. And like I said, if there's an extra credit to be had, I'll throw it out there for you. Okay, so are we ready?
Let's go.
Ready.
Okay. Who was the most feared pirate of all? The most terrifying pirate in the world, according to NassauParadiseIsland.com.
Blackbeard.
Chris?
Again, stealing my answers, Casey. Gosh.
We're probably wrong.
Well, you guys can answer the same thing if you know it.
I'm going to go with Blackbeard just because that was what I was going to guess with.
You're both right.
Hey.
Yes.
No shutout today. No shutout today.
No shutout today.
And see, I knew I was jinxing myself when I said that. Yeah, he used to, before capturing a ship, he would weave hemp into his beard and light it on fire, which is an awfully bad waste of hemp.
Yeah.
That made him look demonic. Okay. What is the skull and crossbones at the top of a pirate ship called? Chris, you first.
Jolly Roger.
Casey?
I have no idea.
Well, Chris, you're right.
Boom.
It is the Jolly Roger.
Did not know that. I've never heard of that before.
The theory stems from the use of red flags. Centuries ago, a red flag was commonly used during naval warfare to signal that no mercy would be given and anyone captured would be killed immediately.
Called
Joli Rogue or Rouge, pretty red by the French. The theorists claim that it was translated into English as Jolly Roger. And then again, another theory is that it's derived from Old Roger as a term for the devil.
And coincidentally,
not so jolly.
And coincidentally, it didn't work when Jameis Winston was playing quarterback for the Buccaneers. Because instead of pillaging all the booty, he gave it all away.
Plus crab legs.
At least.
What You ready for the next one?
Let's go.
What was the pirate's drink called?
The pirate's drink. Oh,
it's some great. There's some great podcasts in here.
Great yeah, podcast. It's just riveting. The Bloody
Mary.
Bloody Mary. I can see that. But,
well,
Chris,
I don't have a clue, so I'd be remiss if I didn't say Yar C Cola. One of the worst dad jokes of all time, folks, and I'm here for it.
Grog was the pirate's drink.
Grog.
Grog. Yeah,
definitely does not sound as good.
It was a mixture of rum, water, lemon juice, and sugar.
Mm.
Actually sounds pretty good about now.
Maybe it does.
Okay. Here's a true or false question.
Oof.
Well, no, I'm going to change this. What was the reason that pirates wore eye patches?
The sun.
I mean,
I don't want to see.
I mean, maybe to make sure they didn't get an eye put out. I don't know.
Pirates wore eye patches to help keep one eye adjusted to night vision for seeing below deck.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay. So close, but yes, so far.
The more you know.
Here's a true or false question. Did pirates make people walk the plank?
Yes.
No. Chris is correct. No.
Oh.
Most pirates just killed you.
Yeah. Why go through all that ceremony? Just get the job done.
when they did torture their prisoners, they usually dragged the sailor in the water from the back of the ship. What is that called?
Do not know.
I'm drawing a blank.
When they hauled a sailor behind the ship, it was called keel hauling. You're hauling them behind the keel of the ship.
Okay.
Or they just maroon you on a deserted island or sandbar.
Yeah.
I always get the parts of the ship messed up, like the starboard side, the keel, all that. I just don't know.
Okay. Here's what you need to know. Starboard is the right side of the ship.
Okay.
Port is the left side.
Okay.
The reason I know that is because I'm left-handed and port sounds so freaking boring. It actually had to do with the way ships left harbor. They would keep port on the left side of the ship and starboard or the open water to the right side.
Well, the more you know. Mm. We're a very educational broadcast here.
Evidently, Doug Mercada just came by and said, keel hauling, it will keel you. Okay. Thank you, Doug. We'll keel it. Okay. We all know that pirates' treasure included in some cases gold and silver. Most of that was privateering where governments would be supporting a pirate to attack ships of another nation. Most, though, of a pirate's treasure was in gold or silver. What was it? And I'll give you a point for each one you get right. And there, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4.
So it's not gold and silver.
Aside from gold and silver,
okay.
Most pirates' treasure was one of four things. What were they?
Liquor. Some form of liquor.
You would think that, but that's not on this list.
Wow.
Hmm. Oh. This is tough. He's a very tough teacher.
Maybe like a deed to some land or something like that?
No. You guys are thinking, you're thinking with a little too much value.
Don't know.
What was being, you got to think about what was being traded a lot at the time.
Spices?
No. I'll give you a point for that, kind of. I'm going to give you a point. That
food, a mercy point.
food was one of them. Food was one of them. And spices are part of food. So I'll give you that.
I was thinking sugar cane.
Yeah, that would fall under food. Yeah.
Cotton?
Oh, there you go.
Ah.
Cloth. And you guys are tied. I'll tell you the other two. You ready? Lumber and animal hides.
Hmm.
Because a lot of what was coming out of, especially out of North America, were pelts and things of that nature that weren't normally trading.
Interesting.
What was the one of the, you know, pirates actually had rules on their ship, guidelines that they all had to agree to. You know, each captain, you know, this is what you sign up for when you get on our ship. What was one of the most common rules?
I'm trying to think of Pirates of the Caribbean, that pirate code. What was one of the rules? And it's probably not the correct answer here, but you must give quarter.
Interesting. Chris?
Everyone has to take a turn cleaning the ship.
They had chores they did, and that was part of their guidelines. But the most common rule was no fighting on board. If two pirates had a disagreement, they have to wait and fight on land. I'm assuming because you didn't want to damage the ship.
Yeah.
Makes sense. You guys are tied. So I'm going to look here and see if I've got another question for you. Okay. True or false, there were women pirates?
True.
That is true. You guys are killing me. I weren't expecting you guys to go into this thing. You're both tied with 4 points. Okay. So, let's see. Here's the last one right here. This is a tiebreaker unless you guys keep going. The English word pirate is derived from the Latin term pirata.
False.
True.
That is true.
Oh.
It's the Latin term pirata means sailor or sea robber. And it's also from the Greek word pirates, which basically means one who attacks ships.
I lose again.
Yeah, but you won last time.
That's true.
You're not going empty-handed.
That's right. All right. So, Chris, we roll into One's Gotta Go.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, you know, we talked a lot about piracy. We've talked a lot about buried treasure. Now let's talk a little bit about secrets here. Now, the One's Gotta Go. This is our secret formula edition. Okay, guys, you've got a limited number of people that can. We've got a little... limited number of people, he tried to say, easy for him to say, people to guard our safe. We've got to live, and we've got to figure out which ones we're going to keep safe and which secret formula we can let go. So here are our four secret formulas. The secret sauce to the Big Mac. Kentucky Fried Chicken's 11 herbs and spices. The secret formula to Coca-Cola. Or the special formula to Bush's baked beans. Only Jay and Jay Bush and Duke know.
Isn't Duke dead?
I think he is, actually.
Oh, so only Jay
Bush knows.
Yeah.
Actually, the formula was actually derived, I think, by the guy who started it, his daughter-in-law. I wish I could remember her name right now. But
I'll start this off if you want me to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, everybody knows about Bush's baked beans, about the secret formula because of the commercials they used to have. Likewise, everybody knows about KFC. They've went to court to try to keep that the recipe secret. Coca-Cola has too. They've defended their secret formula in courts. But I didn't even know the Big Mac sauce recipe was even a secret. I did not even know that.
They literally call it special sauce.
I did not know secret they called sauce. It special sauce. I just thought it was Big Mac sauce. I didn't know it was a big secret. So I think the Big Mac secret sauce has got to go.
Chris?
You know, actually in the song, it's not secret sauce. It's special sauce. So yes. I could see where he wouldn't know that it wasn't a secret.
Ah.
Yeah.
So, Bush's baked beans, yeah, roll up beautiful bean footage. Unfortunately, with Duke passing on, Al J. Bush is the only one that has it, so, you know, it's fairly safe.
Everybody form a circle around Jay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. KFC's 11 Where's, herbs and spices.
That is, and I've been by their facility. It's in East Tennessee somewhere. I'm not really
Jefferson sure County. That.
Yeah,
Jefferson's County, in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck was I doing in the middle of nowhere in Jefferson County?
That's a good question.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
You got some explaining to do.
I was kind of like, "Whoa, there's a Bush Beans place."
Hmm. But no, Coca-Cola's secret formula—it's legendary. And I gotta agree with Casey. I've never actually had a Big Mac, so for me, I just don't care.
Oh my!
I have what? Not either. I have not. Never had a Big Mac.
Well, no wonder it's gotta go if you guys haven't had it.
Not go to McDonald's. Why not go to McDonald's? I'm a chicken nugget guy.
That's all you. What is it with you two chickens?
You gotta go with the chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets for the win.
It's wow. True. You guys have never had a Big Mac.
Never.
No.
Ever.
In my life. Nope.
And now that I've gotten to have like other burger places, I don't really care for McDonald's burgers too much. So.
Well, I will tell you that they kind of ruined the quarter pounder for me when they went to this new formula. It just didn't, and I know it's supposed to be healthier, but it just doesn't, it doesn't seem like the same. It's very loose. That's kind of such, you know, kind of off-putting. That's just me. McDonald's, you want to come back, sponsor the show. I will eat there, and I'll eat every Big Mac you got. 11 Herbs and Spices, KFC, that is as much in the cooking of it as anything, because honestly, what he was selling was, he was selling his herbs and spices, but he's also selling a new way of cooking. He had a pressure fryer. He actually invented it. That's pretty stout right there. Secret formula Coke. Okay. You know, have you guys ever been to World of Coca-Cola?
I have not. That's a place I've been meaning to go.
Yeah, same here.
It's interesting. I mean, basically, I've been twice, and I kick myself as I'm leaving every time. Because I'm like, I can't believe I just paid money to enter a commercial for Coca-Cola. I mean, honestly, I'm sitting there and going, well, this is all about Coca-Cola. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, but basically I'm paying money to them. They should be paying me. But I mean, there's some neat things in there. They have, but make sure, guys, when you go, that they have this thing that has like Coca-Cola brands from around the world. Make sure you try Beverly. You'll love it. It's delicious.
Hmm.
It's an Italian aperitif type of thing. But you know, but they also did Fanta. It's pretty cool. The gift shop is the best place. And again, you're paying money to wear their stuff around. I Bush's baked beans. I'm a baked beans guy. I love them. I do like a Big Mac, but I agree with you guys. The secret sauce to me is not all that secret.
special sauce.
I actually was going to put Chick-fil-A sauce on this.
Ooh.
But Chick-fil-A will tell you what's in their Chick-fil-A
Chick-fil-A. It's in a packet. I think it's in a packet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically just a mixture of a bunch of different sauces, and they tell you exactly what it is. So there wasn't a whole lot.
They ain't hiding much.
No. I mean, it's good. But, so unfortunately, Big Mac special sauce, secret sauce, sauce on the side, whatever you want to call it. You got to go. We're protecting all these other three. That's.
Yeah, I'll have my KFC with some Bush's baked beans on the side and a glass of Coke.
Oh, there you go. Actually, sounds good. I wish they did sell Bush's baked beans with KFC.
Yeah,
that and some mashed potatoes with gravy, Casey.
No gravy.
Oh, you gotta have the gravy.
I can't believe you've not had. You don't have you never had brown gravy on anything?
No. We could do a podcast special on my appetite and my diet. We really could. I need to be
make a note of that.
Picky eaters, that ought to be one. Yeah,
you there you go.
For big pain in the ass. I can't take credit for that one. That's a George Carlin thing.
Mm.
I'm a picky eater.
Not much of a discovery there.
No.
But what we have discovered is we are out of time for this episode. Thanks for listening to us. Hope you enjoyed it. Go eat a Big Mac or whatever you want to eat. I don't care. But,
or go dig up in the backyard.
Yeah. Or go find a tank on eBay and see what you can find in it. Be like Nick Mead. I don't know. But until next time, be safe. Cover your mouth. All that good stuff. Social distance and do all that good stuff. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.